I don't want to have like all the money in the world, the business success, the outside, the flashy, everything. But if inside of your home is not peaceful and calm with your children and your spouse, your life partner, then you're not going to be as good at business and be able to help as many people.
83% of Americans identify as not very happy, which can hold you back and negatively affect your relationships and your business. On this podcast, we discuss the proven steps to happiness so you can restore balance and rekindle your joy.
Welcome to another edition of How to Be Happier for Entrepreneurs. Today, we have Brent Bowers. Brent is actually a former client of mine, and we are going to talk about his experience with this transformation process that we help people through. Brent, how are you today?
Hey, I'm good. I'm good, Brad. How are you doing?
I'm awesome as usual. Thanks for being on today. Thanks for sharing your story. I want to start by thanking you for your service. Did you spend 8 years in the Army?
Yeah, it was 8.5 years in the military. Good time.
Okay. So I have a special place in my heart. My father was in the Army. I did not serve, but I have a special place in my heart for military folks. So I really dearly thank you for your service.
Thanks, man.
All right. So look, let's just jump right in. As the title said, you came to me. You're an entrepreneur, successful entrepreneur. And you're in the real estate space. We'll talk more about that in a bit. But you had this racing mind and this constant sense of overwhelm. Tell us about what that was like before you started working with me a couple of months ago.
Yeah. And I had met you a couple of years ago. And I think I watched all your TikTok videos. And honestly, I was like, man, I'm so skeptical of this. Completely skeptical. But yeah, like an example, my mind always racing. For years, I've been getting up at 4 a.m. and starting the workday, even though like money was already taken care of, health was already good, family, I mean, unbelievable, like blessed in the family life. My children are healthy, happy. And it's just like I was still getting up and running like there was someone chasing me type thing. And I had this guilt if I didn't work 6 days a week. God commanded us to take at least one day off. That's actually a command in the Bible. And I was like, okay, I get to take one day off. He didn't say two. So I basically, every waking second of my life, I felt had to be optimized for productivity. That's all well and good if you're a single guy. But when you have a wife whose love language is quality time, and I would wager to say that every child, their love language is also time. It doesn't have to be quality time, but I think they spell love as T-I-M-E, push me on the swing type thing. And me, that was the hardest thing I could ever give anybody was quality time. So it just took a major reset to kind of get off that track. And it took a lot of work. And let me tell you, I'm not perfect still. I am by no means perfect. I actually thought about calling you and saying, you know, I'm having a rough day. I don't know if I should go on the podcast because I'm still not perfect. I still got a lot of work to do. But then I was like, well, heck, maybe if I just talk to Brad for a few minutes, he'll give me some good insight and just tell me to keep doing the work.
Love it. Love it, man. Let's come back to that. Let's come back to your bad day. But you said some really cool, insightful stuff. You had this constant racing mind. And I work with a lot of entrepreneurs and I hear this all the time. Their mind is constantly racing. It never stops. Now, knowing what you know now, what caused that racing mind?
Yeah, I mean, since a child, I've always felt responsible for everything and everyone around me. So it came on me from an early age, and I was borrowing the neighbor's push mower at probably the age of 10 or 11 and mowing other people's yards with it to make money. And everyone was like, applauded me for, oh yeah, you're a young entrepreneur. Look at you. You're doing so well. So proud of you. And it's like between the praise and the feeling that I needed to do it, like during the summer, and my dad still talks about this, like I would have two-a-days in high school for practice during the summertime in ninth grade as a freshman. I would go to these two practices a day and then mow grass in between the practices. Like that's not the way a child, like maybe back in the days when we had to farm and grow our own food or we die, we are past that point. Like we've got Publix and Winn-Dixie and Walmart.
Yeah. So every symptom, that's the medical terminology symptom, but we'll just call racing minds a symptom. It could be drinking, it could be gambling, whatever it is. They're all formed to protect us, right? So this racing mind, it's not only you, you know how many people I've dealt with, and to some degree, sometimes I have a racing mind, not much anymore, but sometimes I do. It's that you're in a fight or flight, right? That you're looking for that proverbial tiger that's about to bite you. And It has a little bit to do with feeling unsafe, has a little bit to do with probably not feeling enough. Once you do the work, which you have done the work, what is it like now? How has it changed? How has the racing mind and this feeling of overwhelm changed in these last like 6 weeks?
Yeah, it's almost like a switch has been flipped. I don't rush through my day anymore. I don't run at such a pace anymore to where if something gets in the way, I bulldoze through it. And I mentioned I have three kids. It was always like, not now, I don't have the time, or maybe later, maybe tomorrow. And here I am. If anybody like ever wants to know my story, the reason why I got into land investing and doing what I do now is for the passive income and to be able to have the time freedom. And I teach so many people how to receive time freedom by investing in vacant raw land and selling it on seller financing. So here I am. I've got all these payments coming in from land. I've got an amazing executive assistant running that process. And I don't have to keep running at that pace. Like, there's a time, and it was almost like, how do I say it? I'm like telling everyone how to build time freedom, but I'm still working like crazy. I enjoy it for the most part, but then there's sometimes I don't enjoy it, but I keep doing it. And then it's like my family sometimes by the wayside. And not all the time. It's ups and downs. My life's, every entrepreneur and visionary and business owner, your life is always out of balance. I feel like it's like the airplane. We're going from, I'll answer your question, I promise, Brad, from California to Florida. The entire time the airplane's off target, it's always recorrecting. It's always recorrecting. And I'm not a pilot or anything. I just heard that. So I said, that sounds about right. So the whole time, like, we're out of balance, but we're always trying to realign. But to answer your question, when I started doing the work and the simple steps, and like, you give us a lot to do, and I'm not even doing all of it. Like, I know that I could benefit from doing all of it, but it's almost like it's been more of a calmer, peaceful type attitude. And it's helped with my children. Like, one of my sons, my oldest son, he's kind of like, the reason why I came to you, honestly, it wasn't to slow down. It was because, man, it's like, my son's angry. He's walking around angry all the time. And it's because he needed more of my time, and not just like more of my time, but a certain way of my time, like for the love to him, and put my arm around him and help him work through these challenges. Where a lot of times we all come from the old days, like, hey, if you ain't bleeding, you don't need a Band-Aid. And my parents have said this, they did the best they could. My grandparents used to say this, if you want something to cry about, I'll give you something to cry about.
Oof.
And kids are to be seen and not heard. Yeah. Well, things have changed a little bit from these days. That's not so true. Kids are to be loud and rambunctious and crazy. And like, I got a little aggravated last night. But I'll tell you what, the kids were digging almost like a 4-foot hole right in front of the back door. Right in front of the back door. They came in super dirty, just nasty. And I was like, can you dig a hole next time somewhere elsewhere? I get it. Kids are going to dig holes. But it's like, before, I might have probably yelled and been a little aggravated about that. I didn't yell. No one got yelled at last night. I did yell for Emily to come wash the kids.
Incredible. Like, this is life-changing stuff. You came to me because your son was angry. And guess what? Kids only misbehave for one reason and one reason only. That's because they lack a connection with a parent. How connected could Brett be if his mind's always racing and he's trying to work, right?
Yeah.
And now, how is it different? How is your son behaving any differently?
Yeah, I mean, it's not 100% perfect yet, but I will tell you, I would say by about 50%, his anger outbursts have decreased, aggravations decreased. There's still rough days, absolutely. And we were working through them, but like night and day difference. Even my mom noticed it. And it was really cool. We were camping out, my parents, New Year's Eve. They've got some land. We were camping in the tents. My son was so upset. And then my dad, and I was really aggravated about it, because I kind of hit my limit, like 2 hours of this. I finally hit my limit. Usually it'd be like 2 minutes. And my dad came in, is like, listen, I'll sit with him and I'll hang out with him. And like, he went in there and talked to him. And I was like, Jesus, he been doing Brad's training as well? And I didn't know about this.
So I love this saying, pain moves through families until someone's willing to feel it. Most of us are caught in this multi-generational curse. Like, your parents didn't wake up and say, we're going to mess you up. Neither did mine. But they did the best they could given what their parents did, right? And their parents did. So pain moves through families until someone's willing to feel it. You raised your hand. Now you are able to be the lighthouse for your family, and you're changing. People are seeing you are now responding differently. When your son gets aggravated, you're not flying off the handle. Wow. So maybe I'm going to start acting differently. You get to be the lighthouse now. Your family is going to change for generations to come now, because this anger that your son feels, it may not be fix itself tomorrow, but now you know the source of it and that you were part of it and that your wife was part of it, not to blame, but you were doing the best. And now that you know and you're aware of it, it's going to change. So okay, he's not going to be an angry man at 20 or 40 or 60, right? He's going to match with a different person. His intimate partner is going to be someone different, right? So this is amazing stuff. Absolutely amazing. What you just said, 50% decrease, like that's enormous.
Yeah, it's huge. Yeah. And obviously my wife, Emily, went through the training with me. And I will say that was probably the absolute number one reason why I was successful with it, because I probably would have gotten busy with something else. And I'll tell you, I love to have a coach with everything, physical fitness, health, and spiritual, and business. And I've got many coaches, and I'm in many programs, many training programs. And if it wasn't for my Emily going through this with me, like, because we got to do it together, and we still have some things to do together with it, that kept me accountable as well. Emily even wrote a book called Mother Trauma, Breaking the Generational Cycles, because it goes from family to family to family. So anyhow, that was a blessing as well.
So you were the first husband and wife couple that we worked with, we being Yvonne, my partner. She worked with Emily. And I know Emily has had some major transformation. I'm not going to ask you to speak for her, but I will just ask you, even though she wrote the book and worked a lot with other people over time, what shifted in her life?
Just that calmness, because she too struggled with the anxiety and the racing mind and just always got to be doing something, and almost like it's got to be perfect type thing, almost a little perfectionism with raising our children, because her parents did the best they could, but she didn't have that growing up. So, and this is just me, like I'm by no means a psychologist. I think she's overcompensating for what she didn't have growing up, and she's giving it to our children, sometimes too much in my eyes.
So I didn't work with Emily, but I can tell you that most perfectionists, the reason they are perfectionists is because their imperfect child self wasn't enough. It wasn't enough. And guess what? We're all imperfect, right? But if you don't feel enough, perfectionism is one of the byproducts. People pleasing is one of the byproducts. Drinking a lot is one of the byproducts, right? So yeah, it's been an absolute just amazing journey for us to work with you two and just to see. So how, if any, has your marriage changed and your relationship with Emily?
Yeah, communication is different. The arguments last or don't last as long. Because sometimes our arguments used to last like a week at a time. I can almost like set my calendar by it. It was usually about once a month for 1 week. So do the math there. That's quite a bit. 12 times a year, 12 weeks a year.
Wow.
So those have definitely probably went down by about 90%.
Wow.
I was joking the other day. So I run a real estate meetup here in my hometown too. And we had this couple that came in and talked about relationships, and it just had some amazing things they were talking about. And I was just joking. I was like, yeah, me and my wife hadn't fought in so long. I can't remember when. I might just go home and start an argument just for the heck of it. And be careful what you say, because it happened. By accident on my part. But anyhow, yeah, communication. And that's the main thing. It's just like knowing how to speak to someone like you love them.
And what changed? Because someone's listening to this that is struggling with arguments. What changed? What advice can you offer people?
Yeah, I would say what changed, one thing is just working with you, like in understanding why I have the feeling that I have during arguments. Like you put it well one day, gave me some words that I didn't have. Sometimes it's like someone's holding a knife to my throat. And what happens when that happens? Like, you are not a nice person at all. Like, if someone's actually physically has a knife to your throat. Now, has that ever happened to me? No. But sometimes the weight on my chest and shoulders, it gets like that. And again, like, I don't want to have like all the money in the world, the business success, the outside, the flashy, everything. But if inside of your home is not peaceful and calm with your children and your spouse, your life partner, then you're not going to be as good at business and be able to help as many people. Also, I can say, you had mentioned too, Brad, at the beginning of your training, that my income would probably go up and opportunities would come to me that didn't exist. And I was like, this guy's crazy. I don't know. But it sure enough happened. I would say my income probably doubled almost. Just in like the last several months.
Why? Why do you think?
probably because I'm calmer. Things are just coming to me and like just I'm attracting more and I'm not even trying to.
If you are in a fight or flight state, which I think you were probably 80% of your life, you're running from a tiger. How can you ever be creative or think about your next business move when you're scanning the savannah for the tiger, right? So what we did in 5 weeks is we killed that proverbial tiger. So now you can take a couple deep breaths and say, hey, what should my next move be? Should I be hiring this person? How can I serve my clients better? How can I make this program better? Those are all things that happen. The same thing happened to me, Brent. These last 3 years, my net worth has gone up higher than any other three-year period by like a multiple. Because I stopped, I had the racing mind. I was constantly trying to do more because I had to prove my worth because I didn't feel worthy. So absolutely amazing stuff. Wow, we could talk for hours on this stuff. Survival. I want to touch what you just said about the knife to your neck because I think this is what you're saying. And if not, we'll address it. Is the way that you react when Emily says something to you or anyone that used to make you really angry, it had something to do from your childhood, some meaning that you placed on something, where your little brain was like, if I don't change the way I am, I might lose attachment to my parents and die. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, there you said it better.
Yeah, not to get overly complicated. This is from Dr. Gabor Mate. He's been a physician for 40 years on the medical side and on the psych side. And he says, we have two primary needs as a child. Attachment. If you're not attached to your parents, how long are you going to live? And then the second is authenticity. Authenticity is being yourself, feeling your feelings, following your gut. So 1,000 years ago, if you came out of the cave and there's a lion and you're like, I'm not going to worry about that lion, you'd be dead, right? So this same thing happens now because look, this is evolution. Things change a little bit, but not that much. So as a child, if you can't be in tune with your gut, like your parents can't take the emotional outburst. And you said, if you want something to cry about, I'll give you something to cry about. That's a sign of a parent that may not be able, is emotionally in tune for their kids. Well, you can't give up the attachment because if you give the attachment, you're dead. So you're like, I've got to start changing who I am, who the person I am. That's the whole survival. So I think, and I really just thought about this in the last couple of months, that most of our issues in our life, the way that we get angry, the reason we drink, the reason we eat food is all our brain saying like we need this to survive. It's our subconscious mind tricking us. So anyway.
Coping mechanism. Yeah, that was such a powerful video. Honestly, it's a scary video too, like watching that video. That's the Gabor Mate video.
Yep. Gabor Mate. I'll put it in the show notes for you guys, or you can just Google it. Dr. Gabor, G-A-B-O-R, Mate, M-A-T-E. And it's on authenticity and attachment. And it's about how it causes addiction. But don't be like, well, I'm not addicted. You can replace addiction with anything. Overwhelm, racing mind, depression, whatever.
Yeah. Addiction could be anything. It could be social media, TikTok, smoking, vaping, drinking. Oh, I only have 2 drinks a day or 2 drinks a week. Still, I mean, it could be an addiction. Going to the gym too much. Like there's a million addictions out there.
Brent, are you comfortable sharing your results of your self-love quiz that you took before Sure. We started working together?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So it was lack of self-love, right? Lack of self-love identifies with I'm not enough. It's the same exact thing that I had, right? I am not enough means that we probably don't like the state that we're in. So that's another reason that you're racing mind. You're always trying to distract yourself. That's what I did for so long, right?
Going for something bigger. And you mentioned it too, like getting on stage and building the business and just always building and excelling and improving and doing all these things. It's because we're going to the next goal. Like if anybody's listening to this, like that's me, man. I accomplish a goal and I'm already on to the next one. My first wife said this about me. She's like, I love you for this, but I also think that you have a problem. And I never understood what she was talking about. She's like, you accomplish goals faster than anybody I've ever seen in my life. And I'm like, yeah, I do. I was taking it as a compliment. And she's like, the second you hit it, not 5 seconds go by and you already have another goal in your head and it's bigger and better. And I'm just like, yeah, that's what I do. But she said it to me a long time ago.
And when you operate that way, how can you ever find happiness? Because you don't. you think that getting to a goal is going to get you somewhere. When you don't feel enough, which I believe all human beings on some level don't feel enough, right? When you don't feel enough, it is never enough. Nothing, whether it's drinking, shopping, women, booze, money, it's never, ever enough. That is the problem with most of us. And that causes all of the issues, whatever issue you want to put in there. So now, when you're not enough, you've got that lion chasing you. Now, pretty sure when we retested, when we did the quiz, and if anyone wants to take this quiz, by the way, it's at bradchandler.com/quiz. So if you're sitting here thinking, I don't have any of these issues, just do yourself a favor. Go to bradchandler.com and take the quiz. I'm pretty sure when we scored at the end of the 5 weeks, you went from extreme self-love. How does it feel differently knowing that you went from like, yeah, I didn't really like myself, and now I have extreme self-love?
See, I didn't know I didn't like myself. I took
neither did I quiz,
and I got like a 20-something the first time, and I think I was like a 46 the second time. So I didn't even know. Like, if you ask me if I like myself, I'm like, absolutely, I like myself. Like, I've never walked by a mirror that I didn't like looking at. but going that internal, taking that quiz was a little tough. It's like a little reflection. And who's got time to sit there and reflect? I've got a million other things to do. I got three companies to run and three kids to love on and build another fort, another piggyback ride. And oh, by the way, my wife's love language is quality time.
And by the way, you got those numbers reversed. You were like well into the lack of self-worth, and now you're like well into the extreme self-love. It's the reason everything has changed, but can you tell us why? What did we do working together that led you to go from lack of self-love in 5 weeks and killing that proverbial tiger that was chasing you to this extreme self-love?
You gave me a bunch of tools. First of all, there's just the tools, the understanding, the words. We do that hypnosis session too, and that was pretty powerful. Just kind of just having the understanding. Just a gratitude journal, which by the way, I have a hard time with. It takes a few minutes to do that every day, and I am not caught up with it, but just the simple meditations. I've been now back into the Bible every morning, studying the Bible, meditating on the word of the Lord. Just give me the tools. And what I love about it too is like you and Yvonne say the same thing, but you're also bringing it, backing it with science, with other doctors that you mentioned as well. I don't want to just spill the beans on your whole entire program, but so it's a bunch of people saying the same exact thing in a different way. And it's like, okay, I can relate to that. I can do that. I can see that. That's me. All right. And just, it's almost like the noise has been turned down a little bit.
Love it. Do you think the real magic happened? I mean, the tools are great. Obviously they're great. They're part of the program. And we'll talk about the Joy Regenerator in a second, because I want to hear your thoughts on that and how you use that with Emily.
Are you sure? I hate that thing.
But didn't the real magic come in the hypnosis session where we went back and figured out the meanings that you placed on things that you had to go through as a child?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's harder to even talk about. And I probably need to go back and like probably look at that more often to understand and have that compassion for other people. And just, so yeah, that's, I think all of it together. I don't think there was one thing that was just like, oh, that was it. I think it was a combination of everything.
And Brent, the meanings that you came up with based on your childhood situations, were those meanings true or untrue?
They're not true. No, none of it's true. Yeah. We tell ourselves a lot of lies, many, many lies. And sometimes a lie is easier to believe than the truth.
Yeah. So Brent just said that the crux of every issue that you have in your life right now, if you're suffering, it's because you're living in the untruth. And those untruths were formed during childhood programming when you were going through some type of stress and you're like, hey, this bad thing's happening to me. I must be bad, or whatever your meaning was. I use that a lot, but it's not for everyone, but it's close. It's close. And we live with these untruths. You were living with them for decades, right? You did the work and now you see, I don't live with those. Those untruths are the reason that you get angry with your kids. It's the reason you fight with your wife. It's the reason, not you, drink too much, eat too much, smoke too much, work too much, because those meanings, those untruths are driving you, because to think of those and to think of those painful times in your childhood, it's more painful than actually doing the thing, which is the racing mind or the drinking or the fighting with the wife. So anyway, great stuff. The Joy Regenerator. Has that helped in your relationship with Emily, your wife?
Yes, absolutely. It has. And it's one thing I've struggled with. I think it's the number one tool. I mentioned that the gratitude journal was the thing I struggled with. I think the Joy Regenerator is the biggest thing I struggle with. It's sitting on my desk, but it's almost like it's like too simple to do, but so simple I don't do it. And I forget about it in the moment. Like, okay, oh gosh. Go back, pause, breathe, identify why I'm getting aggravated here. Give a little compassion for the person or the problem or whatever the situation. So yeah, again, it's one of those tools, and I might just be a little more hard-headed than most of your clients, but that one's taken me a little longer to go through. And I think it's probably because I was more skeptical in the beginning. That's probably the issue. I should have just went in with blind faith, because I do that with most everything in life. But this one thing for me was like, I was more skeptical than anything in the world. So maybe I'm kind of like self-diagnosing myself here, because here's the thing, I'm a coach too. And when a student questions me and questions everything I tell them, I know they're going to be the most difficult person to ever get them success as quick as possible. And that success is getting them their first land deal. But the guys and the gals that just say, I didn't think about it, I just did it, it worked so phenomenally. And you and I have one of the same coaches, and it's just, he said that yesterday. And I was like, that's so true.
Beautiful. So what do you think you struggle most with the Joy Regenerator? And by the way, you guys can have it for free. I'm here to make an impact. So bradchandler.com/joy, you can download a copy.
Probably to identify that emotion, you pause and breathe, and then identify the emotion and then give compassion. Because sometimes anger is a choice, and it's a choice to stay in that anger. Again, these tools are so simple. We almost want to overcomplicate things, and we don't have to. Life is not that complicated.
So is your biggest struggle joy or joy? Brent, I see that was a Freudian slip. You're joyful now, so I'm going to call you Joy. Is your biggest struggle identifying the emotion that you're feeling?
I would say, I kind of gave you a bunch of, I didn't really give you the best answer. It's probably the giving the compassion part. That's really it. I was just going through the timeline of the Joy Regenerator. Yeah, it's probably the compassion part. And the first one is probably just taking the second to pause and breathe and use the Joy Regenerator.
Yeah, because you're mad. Do you remember what I said Eckhart Tolle said about Matt, about anger, what anger really is? Do you remember that?
No.
So anger is really underlying sadness or unresolved hurt. So
that's deep.
When you're angry, look, unless your kids are being attacked by a bear and you need to like fend them off, you're probably not angry. You're really sad. So pause, take a couple deep breaths so you can get centered, because when you're negative, in a negative emotion, you're going back to the past. So you're not in the present moment. And then you identify the emotion. If you're like, I'm angry, hopefully you remember. Well, remember what Eckhart Tolle said? I guess I'm really sad. So if your child came up to you, because this is your childlike self, not your adult self, your childlike self, if they came up to you, they're the ones feeling this emotion. If they came up to you and said, Brent, I'm feeling really sad, what would you do?
I would take, just drop everything and put my arm around one of them.
Pick them up and say, it's okay. I'm here. I love you, right? Yeah. Why don't you do that with yourself? And this is not you I'm talking to. I'm talking about you, the listener. When you feel sad or anger, upset or frustrated or down, why do you kick yourself? Would you do that to your child? No, you wouldn't. No. I hope you wouldn't. So why do you do it to yourself? That compassion is a huge part of this healing process. So yeah, great stuff, man.
Yeah. I mean, I guess the reason why I'll answer for anybody listening is because we haven't been given the tools. We didn't know we were allowed to. Adults. We don't cry. We don't have time. We've got things to do. We got businesses to run.
Yeah. So when Emily says something that puts you in a triggered state, creates this anger, aka sadness, it's really nothing Emily did. What is it?
Yeah, it's on me. It's something that I'm feeling that's probably not true.
Yes.
That's it. That's so true. And the thing is just remembering that when it happens, it's like, okay, this is something I'm feeling. Nothing Emily did. She's just telling me what's on her mind.
Yes. So Brent and Emily's marriage has improved, not because they sat down with Yvonne and I and had marriage counseling sessions. Their relationship has improved because their relationship with each of themselves individually has improved. That's the magic. I went to 50 different marriage counseling sessions over the last, 25 years. I used to walk out of those, Brent, like, oh my God.
So two a year? No.
let's just get divorced, right? This is a waste of time. You can't fix a marriage when you've got two people who have a bad relationship with themselves. So you're another testament. I've had other clients come to me that have just, their marriage has just transformed. And we didn't do any marriage counseling. We just helped them reconnect to themselves. So Brent, what do you do now? You've mentioned a couple of times land investing. There's a lot of entrepreneurs watch the show. If someone's looking for a change and wants to understand how to make more money, what do you do?
Yeah, I buy and sell vacant raw land. I keep it pretty simple. I also teach others how to get rich buying and selling vacant raw land. If anybody's interested in checking it out, I'm on all the social medias, Brent L. Bowers. And also, if anybody's got any questions about your program, Brad, feel free to reach out to me. I love just helping other. It doesn't have to be business. I mean, it all starts with ourselves. But hit me up, Brent L. Bowers. If anybody wants to check it out, go to thelandsharks.com.
In closing, Brent, if someone's like out there listening and they're just like, yeah, I don't know if this is for me, and they're struggling in their marriage or they're overworking or they're drinking too much or they have depression or anxiety or racing mind, knowing what you know now, what would you tell that person?
Yeah, I'll tell you that if you're thinking those things and you're dealing with any of those coping mechanisms that you just mentioned, you know, maybe working out 7 days a week or smoking at all, like it's freaking poison. Drinking alcohol at all, it's poison. You don't have the best relationship with your children, or you think it could be better, or you think your marriage could be better, or you're not having enough intimate, passionate time with your spouse, then you definitely need it. And here's the thing, your mind's going to talk you out of it. Oh, I can improve that. Or I only spend money when I get a return on investment and it's got to be monetary. Well, that was one reason why I think, I don't know if I struggle with that, but it ran through my mind. How am I going to get a return on investment for this? You definitely get a return on investment. It's huge. It's huge.
Amazing. Awesome. Awesome. Thank you so much, Brent, for your time. If you guys like this episode, if you like this show, please share it. I'm on a mission to help 1 million people impact their lives and find freedom and happiness, just like Brent and his wife, Emily, have done. So I need your help. Share it, like it, rate it, review it, whatever you can do to help me. I would so appreciate it. And that concludes another episode of How to Be Happier for Entrepreneurs. And remember, love heals all. Thanks, Brent.
Hit subscribe if you don't want to miss out on more life-changing content. And if you're struggling, you don't have to. Go to bradchandler.com/contact. There, you can join the Facebook community of like-minded entrepreneurs, and you'll see a button to schedule your freedom and happiness call. See you on the next episode.